For our study of God's Word this morning, I would ask you to turn with me to the 23rd Psalm. And our text is the opening words of the Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. This morning, I want to begin a short series of studies on this best known and best loved of all the Psalms, the 23rd. And I have a certain reluctance to do so, for it is so well known. And it may seem that there is nothing new or fresh that can be said about it. And yet, on the other hand, all of us have had experiences which have brought home to us the wonder of the way in which this psalm and the shepherd of this psalm meets circumstances and needs of all kinds. In days of joy, in days of sorrow, in days of fulfillment, in days of disappointment, this has been the psalm to which we have turned. And this has been the psalm that we have proved true. We have experienced the fulfillment of the promise in the last verse. Surely or only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that experienced goodness and mercy of the Good Shepherd mean that the psalm can and will strike a responsive chord in our hearts. And we can identify with this opening declaration, the Lord is my shepherd. And to be able to say that is the key to understanding and appreciating this psalm. To be able to say personally, the Lord is my shepherd. There's the well-known story of the actor who was entertaining a group of people who asked him to recite favorite passages from literature. And one old man in the company asked him to recite the 23rd Psalm. He did it so beautifully that at the end there was a burst of spontaneous applause. And then, moved by an impulse that he could scarcely understand, the actor said to the old man, "Would you like to recite the 23rd Psalm?" And the old man did so. With none of the rhetoric of the actor, and yet with a sincerity that shone through every word, at the end there was no applause. But there were tears in many eyes, and not least in the eyes of the actor himself. Deeply moved, he said to the old man, "I know the psalm. You know the shepherd." And that's where we want to come as a result of our studies. It's my prayer that the studies of the next few weeks will bring us all to a deeper and richer knowledge of the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we underline this morning these opening words, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the original Hebrew, there are just two words there, Jehovah Roi, the Lord, my shepherd. And they give us the two divisions into which our study this morning will fall. First of all, the Lord. The Lord. It's important to begin where the psalm begins, and where indeed it ends as well, with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. In the first verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The last verse. In between, there are all the things that the shepherd means to his people, and later on we will be thinking about what the psalm says about our circumstances and our needs and how the Good Shepherd meets those needs. But first and foremost, at the very beginning and from the very beginning, let us focus our attention on the Lord. Let us underline that in our thinking. The Lord. The name, the Lord or Jehovah, is the personal name by which God revealed himself to his people. Moses learned the meaning of it at the burning bush. We read about it in Exodus chapter 3. When God told him that it was the great I Am who was sending him to deliver his people from Egypt. The great I Am. And everywhere where you find the name Lord in capitals in the Old Testament, that's what it means. The great I Am. The Lord. And that has some wonderful implications. It had some wonderful implications for the people of Israel. It has some wonderful implications for us today. And the first is this. If the Lord is the I Am, as he said to Moses in Exodus 3, if the Lord is the I Am, then he is eternally present with his people. He's the God of the past, the God of the present, the God of the future. He said to Moses in Exodus 3 verse 15, this is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. I Am. He's not only the God of the past, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the God of the present. Israel's present as they were in captivity in Egypt. Your present and mine. The same yesterday and today and forever. There's no past, present or future with God. He's I Am. Always the same. And always there. Actively present for his people. Lay hold of that thought for yourself this morning. The Lord is eternally present with his people. Available for today, as surely as he ever was in the past. Available for tomorrow, as sure as he is available today. He is eternally present with his people. Second thing, the Lord is not only eternally present with his people, he is personally involved with his people. In Exodus 3, God, as it were, deliberately and decisively became involved with the people of Israel. He involved himself with his people's need. He entered into a covenant to deliver them and to be their God. It's quite significant that again and again in that chapter he speaks about my people. And that's why we can say that this name, Lord, in capitals, is God's covenant name. The name which speaks of his personal relationship with his people. You see, in that name he binds himself to be their God. He binds himself to be your God and my God. Take that thought too to your heart today. The Lord is personally involved with his people. He has a personal concern for you. Take that thought home with you today. The Lord is personally concerned with you. And what is his involvement? What is his concern? The third implication of this name, Lord, is that the Lord is personally involved in the salvation of his people. He's savingly involved with them. He's eternally present. He's personally involved, and he's savingly involved. That comes out very clearly in Exodus chapter 3, in verses 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. The name is a salvation name. Remember that today. The name Lord is a salvation name. That's how the writer of the book of Proverbs can say in chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. And being saved for Israel meant not only being delivered from the bondage of Egypt, it meant also being brought into the possession of the land of Canaan. You see that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, where God says not only was he going to bring them out of Egypt, he's going to bring them into the land of the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. He's going to give them that land for their very own, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I want to say to you today that salvation for the believer means redemption from the power of sin. It means deliverance from bondage. But it means as well a life of victory and a life of possession. The Lord is personally involved in the salvation of his people. And that salvation is personal, as well as for God's people as a whole. The Lord saved Israel from Egypt and brought them into Canaan. But he also redeemed his people as individuals. There's a wonderful example of that in the life of Jacob. Near the end of his life, as recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 48, he came to bless the sons of Joseph, and this is what he said: God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who fed me, and I want you to notice that that literally is the God who shepherded me all my life long unto this day, the angel who redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Jacob had known personal shepherding of the Lord, personal redemption from the Lord in his own life. And the angel, you'll find it's a capital A, the angel who redeemed him from all evil was none other than Christ himself, appearing before he finally came to earth to shepherd Jacob personally. And that brings us to this wonderful truth, that the Lord of the 23rd Psalm is none other than the good shepherd himself. He took to himself the name I Am. You remember how he said before Abraham was, I Am. You remember how he said, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. And when the apostles refer to him as Lord, they use the Greek word which translated Jehovah in the Old Testament. The good shepherd, Christ, is the Lord for you and me. And what are the implications for us of this title, Lord? What does it mean for us that the God with whom we have to do is the Lord? One thing above all others: we can trust him absolutely. If he has bound himself in covenant to his people, if he is personally concerned for our salvation, if he is the same yesterday and today and forever, and all that is involved in the name Lord, then we can trust him with all our need, and we can trust him to the uttermost. Trust in the Lord. That is the implication for us this morning. And then the second division of our study will enable us to see what that will mean for us. My shepherd. My shepherd. And there are two passages in the Bible, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament, which will help us to understand what it means to say that Jehovah, the great I Am, the Lord, is my shepherd. One is in Ezekiel chapter 34, which we read. And I'd ask you to turn to that chapter now, that we might see the what's involved, what's implied in the Lord being our shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34. In the first part of the chapter, we have the condemnation of the bad shepherds. What we have really in this chapter is a contrast, a vivid contrast, between bad shepherds and the good shepherd. The bad shepherds, the leaders of Israel had thought of the sheep as there for their benefit and their advantage. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Ezekiel chapter 34. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And before we go on to look at the contrast between that kind of failure to be a good shepherd, let us note that these are the things that the sheep that you and I are needing: to be strengthened, to be healed, to be bound up when we're broken, to be brought back when we're driven away, to be sought when we are lost. And those are the very things that the good shepherd does. Turn on to verse 11 of Ezekiel 34. And let us read again just what the Lord, as the good shepherd, does for us. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Is there a lost sheep that God is searching for here today? The Lord says, I will search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick. Aren't all our needs there? To be sought and found, to be fed and pastured, to be protected and kept, to be brought back when we've wandered away. This is what the good shepherd will do. When the Lord calls himself shepherd, that is what he's saying he will do. Exactly what we need. In all the different aspects of our need. And whatever your need is today, I want to say this to you. The good shepherd is there to meet that need, to deal with that need. If you're wandering, he's going to bring you back. If you're broken, he's going to bind you up. If you're defeated, he's going to protect you and guard you. Could we ask for anything more? Could we ask for anything better? The good shepherd, doing everything that we need. The other passage is a more familiar one. We read it too in John chapter 10. And we can do no more than underline the things that the good shepherd does. He lays down his life for the sheep. Don't ever forget that supreme action of the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He protects them from their enemies, not like the hireling who runs away. He provides pasture. He goes before them. Some of you have proved that so wonderfully in hard and difficult days. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He's always there in front. He knows them one by one. He knows all their need. All this and far, far more is what the good shepherd is to his people. And it's all summed up in one word: Christ. Christ, all that Christ has done, all that Christ is, all that Christ gives, all that Christ will be to his people, the good shepherd. And that brings us to the most important word of all in the verse. The Lord is my shepherd. The form of the Hebrew word implies two things. First of all, he shepherds me. He's my shepherd in that sense. He shepherds me. He's concerned about me. He loved me. He gave himself for me. He provides for me. Not the flock as a whole, but me, me, me. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me. He provides for me. He died for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. That's one meaning of the word there. He shepherds me. The second meaning is this. My shepherd means that I have accepted all that for myself. He's not simply the shepherd of his people. He's my shepherd. It means that I have accepted him for myself. I've accepted all that he gives, all that he is, all that he has done. He shepherds me, and I accept all that his shepherding means. And there we come to the heart of it all. There are people who sing, "The Lord's my shepherd," and they've no right to sing it. They've no right to sing it. The most popular psalm there is. And yet there are people who should not be singing it, because they've never taken Christ for their shepherd, their Savior, their Lord. Can you say today? Will you say today, even now, "He shepherds me. The Lord is my shepherd." And then, as God willing, we'll see in the weeks that follow all that that means, all the riches of what that means. But it must begin here. The Lord, the great I Am, the good shepherd, is my shepherd. And here and now, I take him and all that he is and all that he gives to meet every need that I have. The Lord's my shepherd. Let us pray.